The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January-February 2023 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin right away with the front cover. It has some Hurricane hockey players, but they look like little minions. And it says, right in the front, "Let's get weird. We celebrate strange stats, peculiar plays, and whatever's going on here." So what can we look forward to in the next, in the coming months? Well, we have on the cover, and on that page one, "Welcome to our weird issue, in which we celebrate the strangest coincidences, occurrences, and mascots," hi, Greedy, "in sports." The Fabs, freeze frame, page 2. Sports cards, page 7. Hot take, page 9. Birthdays, page 11. Posters, page 27. The treehouse, page 31. On page 52, "What's the call?" Page 53, "Games." Page 54, "Art Gallery and Buzz Beamer" on page 56. On page 16, we can look forward to, "No, Scottie Pippen was not a sidekick, even if he was called Robin. But these players were, and they were great." Page 18, "A career in the big leagues may seem a lifetime away now, but these prodigies won big when they were in school." Page 22, "What if teams could trade anything? Nicknames, uniform, colors, octopuses, and bridge trolls?" After being named MVP of the NWSL, Sophia Smith has her sights set on something bigger, the 2023 World Cup. Page 48. Moving on, our first freeze frame, pages 2 and 3. Oh, we're looking at here at the World Cup. Knocked out. November 28th, 2022, Doha, Qatar, his team needing a win over Iran to get out of the group stage of the World Cup. Christian Pulisic scored one of the most memorable goals in the history of the United States men's national team. He beat Iran's goalkeeper, then crashed into him. Pulisic had to leave the game at halftime, but his goal gave the United States a 1-0 win and sent Iran out of the tournament. Moving on to freeze frame 2. Looks like the racetrack. Uphill battle, October 22nd, 2022, Austin, Texas. Carlos Sainz took a nice Saturday afternoon drive at the Circuit of the Americas as he prepared for the United States Grand Prix. Race day was a different story, and the Ferrari driver crashed out on the first turn of the first lap. Max Verstappen took the checkered flag. It was his record-equaling 13th victory of the season, and he'd win two more races before the end of the year. Good job, Max. Moving on to Who's Who in Sports. Line 1, page 8. Desmond Bain, Memphis Grizzlies guard. His height is 6'5", his weight is 215 pounds. He was born June 25, 1998, in his hometown, Richmond, Indiana. Through the first 12 games of his third season, Bain averaged 24.7 points per game. He was a breakout performer in the 2022 postseason, averaging 23.5 points per game. Bain was selected 30th in 2020 by the Boston Celtics, who traded him to Memphis. Did you know, though, the Grizzlies' 2022 division title was the first in the history of the franchise, which began play in Vancouver in 1995. Next, we have Ahmad Gardner, New York Jets cornerback. His height is 6'3", his weight is 200 pounds. He was born August 31st, 2000. hometown, Detroit, Michigan. As a rookie, Gardner helped the Jets' defense become one of the NFL's best. Through 11 games, he had 2 interceptions and a league-leading 14 passes defended. In college, Gardner, who goes by the nickname Sauce, was a consensus All-American and led Cincinnati to a berth in the 2021 college football playoffs. Did you know, though, the Bearcats are the only program from outside the Power 5 conference to appear in the college football playoff? And finally, we have Felicia Knox, Alabama Crimson Tide midfielder. Her height is 5'5". She was born July 24, 2001, hometown, Kansas City, Missouri. As a junior, Knox led the nation in assists with 20 as Alabama advanced to the semifinals of the College Cup for the first time. She also added 7 goals as the Tide went 23-3-1 and finished 3rd in the nation in scoring with a 2.81 goals per game. Knox was named a 3rd-team All-American. Did you know, though, the women's Division I record for assists in a season is held by former USWNT player Holly Manthai, who had 44 for Notre Dame in 1996. Page 9, warm-up. And we see in the middle of a page, these girls seem rather excited. Refocus. It's time to shake off the USMNT's World Cup finish and focus on our better soccer team. That's the hot take. 5 New Year's Resolutions by Kip Shoremore. Finally, it's 2023. I thought 2022 was never going to end. FIFA put on its most controversial World Cup yet. Tom Brady refused to ride into the sunset. And the Houston Astros once again banged the proverbial trash can of victory in all of our faces. I've shredded my old calendar and incinerated the shreds. A new year also means a chance for improvement. You probably suspect that's impossible in my case, but I've set the bar low for myself. Last year's New Year's resolution to cut back on jelly beans fell apart on January 4th, 2022. So, in the spirit of new beginnings, here's not just 1, but 5 personal goals for these next 12 months. 1. Stop calling for people to be fired. When a team struggles, it's easy to, as a pundit, to scream that the coach and or the general manager should lose their jobs. In what other situation do people cheer so gleefully for someone else's unemployment? Sure, your dream is to write a column for Sports Illustrated Kids, but NFL coach is a fine backup dream, and those people are living it. Worse than being mean, calling for the coach to get fired is lazy. Who knows how well each team would play with each coach? Disgruntled fans can rarely articulate the system the current coach is implementing, much less the tactics they would prefer. Coaching a team also involves motivation and conflict resolution, the locker room interactions we don't see. Coaches are hired to be front office scapegoats. I'm not going to play right into these GM's hands anymore. Number 2, watch more soccer. Boy, that World Cup was actually pretty fun. I regret ever calling soccer a boring, low-scoring snooze fest for people who enjoy hearing British announcers drone on for 90 minutes. We've got the Women's World Cup in July, historically a better tournament for United States fans, and I'm going to keep this momentum going. I'm watching it all. Premier League, Ligue 1, La Liga, Serie A, Serie B, Serie C, the whole alphabet. But I'm not calling it football. There are some lines I just won't cross. Number 3, buy fewer jerseys. I'm all ready to do a sharp 180 on this one when an apparel company buys some ads in this magazine. Until that check clears, however, I need to free up some closet space. I've yet to find an occasion to wear this pink and green Juan Soto City Connect shirt. Our Treehouse headquarters isn't even near San Diego. It's in... redacted. Number four, the jelly bean thing again. That first time was Buzz Beamer's fault. I got it this time. And number five, attend more minor league and amateur games. I recently attended an NHL game and then an NCAA hockey game the next day. The college match blew the pros out of the water. I don't mean the players were faster, stronger, or more skilled. A few of them seemed ready for the pros, but generally the play was, strictly speaking, worse. It was better, however, because the players' shortcomings allowed exciting plays to happen. A shooter scoring on a one-timer from the goal line would be a disaster for an NHL goalie. But man, is it ever cool to see. Professional sports have become so optimized, so min-maxed, to borrow a video game term, they're borderline unwatchable. At a minor league baseball game, a pitcher might actually throw a flat enough slider that it could get hit to center field. Then the center fielder might drop it. The runner would actually get to run the bases. Sports are more fun when the athletes are very good, yet not Superman machines. How can you relate to someone who never messes up? Would anyone enjoy a movie or a book in which the protagonist was totally perfect all the time? Would anyone enjoy a magazine in which the otherwise well-behaved columnist didn't occasionally spoil his dinner with a fistful of jelly beans? Help! Big bowl of jelly beans in the front of page 10. They look so tasty, but my dentist will be mad. What's your hot take? Do you have a question for Kip Shoremore? A complaint? A topic he should write about in a future issue? Send your letter to Kip's Treehouse based editor at kip.shoremore@si.com. Moving on to warm up. LOL, Raiders look horrible. Don't get angry, Las Vegas fans. The headline is part of the joke. Though, let's be honest, Raiders do look horrible. Former Indianapolis Colts center Jeff Saturday tweeted those three immortal words on October 30th, 2022, when the Raiders were losing to the Saints 24-0. Little did Saturday know that he would be off the couch and on the field facing the Raiders just a couple of weeks later. Colts owner Jim Irsay shocked the football world when he named Saturday his team's interim head coach in November after firing Frank Reich. The move drew widespread scrutiny, as Saturday had never before coached above the high school level. Ultimately, the critics seemed right. Indianapolis suffered its most embarrassing loss of the season, 54-19 to Dallas in December. Under Saturday, dropping the team to a 4-7-1. Saturday's first game, however, was against the Las Vegas Raiders, a team he had correctly diagnosed as horrible in October. The Colts won that contest 25-20, briefly making Irsay look brilliant and Saturday prophetic. Turns out, however, that neither man had any special insight. After all, we can all see it. Raiders look horrible. Moving on, continuing future stars. Pages 12 and 13. Maximus Williamson, birthplace South Lake, Texas. Birth date September 4, 2006. Sport, swimming. When he stepped to his block before the 400-meter individual medley at the 2022 Junior Pan Pacific Championships, Maximus Williamson had a clear mind and no expectations. He swam the event in 4:17.58, the fastest time for a 15-year-old United States swimmer in 21 years, second only to Michael Phelps. "I shock myself," says Maximus. "It's really hard to comprehend." A 22-23 national junior team member, Maximus won four state titles as a freshman and will look to add to that at Keller High this season. And it shows Max in different, doing different strokes, the front crawl, the breaststroke. backstroke. Fast Times Maximus also holds the record in his age group for the 200-meter freestyle. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a future star, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. Continuing with warm-up, the grid. We have the New York Knicks guard Quentin Grimes, Minnesota Lynx forward Nafisha Collier, and tennis player Holger Rune. So, who is your favorite athlete outside your sport? Quentin Grimes says Serena Williams. Nafisha Collier says Serena Williams. And Holger Rune says Cristiano Ronaldo. What's something you'd like to do in 2023? Quentin Grimes, visit Turks and Caicos. Nafisha Collier, win a championship. And Holger Rune, I made a goal to be number one, then to win a Grand Slam would be great as well. What movie have you seen the most times? Quentin Grimes, Rush Hour. Nafisha Collier, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. I probably watched that 12 times. And Holger Rune, each James Bond 4 to 5 times. What's your favorite place in the world? Quentin Grimes, Italy. Nafisha Collier, home. I love being in my own space with Alex, my husband, and our baby, Mila. And Holger Rune says Monte Carlo. What's your favorite snacks? Quentin Grimes, Starbucks, Madeline's. Nafisha Collier, chips and salsa. Holger Rune, ice cream. And finally, who is the GOAT in your sport? Quentin Grimes, Michael Jordan. Nafisha Collier, Sylvia Fowles. And Holger Rune says Rafa, Roger Novak. Gotta pick one. Reader engagement, page 15. Kip answers your letters. Asher writes, "Hey Kip, when I was watching the World Cup, I realized that not many people were taking shots from outside the penalty area. I think it would make the slow games that ended as 1-1 more interesting if goals scored from outside the penalty area were worth 2 points. Make sure to say hi to Buzz for me." Dear Asher, as an American cartoon columnist, I have to be careful about endorsing any rule changes to make soccer more exciting. I don't want European cartoon heavyweights like Peppa Pig or Tintin coming after me for disrespecting the beautiful game. Just between you and me and the other people reading this sentence, however, I say go for it. One disappointing aspect of top-level soccer is the importance of penalty kicks, given how difficult they are for the goalkeeper to stop. Players understandably try to draw fouls inside the box so they can get an easy goal. One nice aspect of the Asher system is players would sooner shoot from farther out than dribble into a potential tackle. Even if it doesn't reduce the total number of penalties, I'd rather watch someone score on a perfectly curved free kick over a wall of defenders than fake out a helpless keeper. Carter writes, "I read that whenever James Naismith invented basketball, you couldn't dribble the basketball at all. Another thing that surprised me was that even whenever someone made a shot, the game was paused to get a pole to push it out of the hoop. Why didn't they go straight for the net? When was the net actually invented, and whose idea was it to do it?" Carter, in defense of Dr. Naismith, he invented the sport one night in 1891 to be played the next day because he needed a game for students to try indoors. He had to use what he had available to him. The synthetic materials that make up modern-day basketball hoops like nylon and polyester hadn't even been invented yet. Unless James Naismith had been a serious fisherman, nets probably weren't an option. As far as the identity of the person who hung the first basketball net, it's unclear. But the first metal hoops and backboards went up in 1906, ensuring that ball retriever didn't become a permanent position. Banks writes, why does everyone hate baseball players who just try to have fun? Why do they hate bat flips? Let the players have fun. For some reason, baseball has the most unwritten rules about what makes for an appropriate celebration. I'm not sure why. The excuse that the sport is old and has its tradition doesn't really fly. Soccer is old, and its players really know how to celebrate a goal. I mean, there are more than 100 different celebrations you can do in FIFA depending on which combination of buttons you press. Maybe it has to do with baseball's quirk that the defense controls the ball. Pitchers can try to plunk a hitter who showed them up next at bat, but they shouldn't. Let the bats fly and just throw a better pitch next time. Sidekicks. No, Scottie Pippen isn't a sidekick. I don't care if people called him Robin. Dick Grayson was never all defensive first team. Giannis Antetokounmpo has Chris Middleton. Defining a sports sidekick is tough. Sometimes it means the second best player on a team, even if those two stars rarely play together. Think Evgeny Malkin. Other times it refers to half of a famous duo, like Scottie Pippen. But Malkin is too self-sufficient and Pippen too good. So here's a new bar for sidekicks. The Bucks' Chris Middleton. Kendrick Perkins called Giannis Antetokounmpo Robin after Middleton dropped 38 points in a playoff game in 2021. A month later, Antetokounmpo had his Batman moment in the finals. Giannis couldn't have won that title without Middleton, but there's a clear number one and number two. Wayne Gretzky had Jari Kurie. Oilers Kings, 1980 to 1988, 92 to 96. In basketball, you can't just stand near the hoop and hope a teammate will bank it off your head. In hockey, however, a player can score by standing in the right spot and keeping their stick on the ice. No player found teammates' sticks as well as Wayne Gretzky. He located Jari Kurie a lot as they played together in Edmonton and Los Angeles. Not just anyone playing with number 99 could crack the top 25 in all points, all-time points like Kurie did. But some players are in the right place at the right time in a game, and some players are in the right place at the right time in their careers. Kurie was both. Tim Wakefield had Doug Mirabelli. Boston Red Sox, 2001 to 2007. Former Boston Red Sox backup catcher Doug Mirabelli was not the Jari Kurie of the diamond, and pitcher Tim Wakefield definitely was no Gretzky, but they needed each other. No one else could catch Wakefield's knuckleball as well as Mirabelli. The Red Sox sent Mirabelli to the Padres before the 2006 season, but had to get him back just 1 month into the season. Mirabelli's replacement, Josh Barnes, had already allowed 10 passed balls. Sure, Wakefield had other personal catchers after Mirabelli, but hey, Batman has had five Robins. Lauren Jackson had Sue Bird, Seattle Storm, 2002-2012. Sue Bird is a legend, so sidekick might seem harsh, but like a young Kobe Bryant, Bird fed a dominant front court player on multiple championship teams. Then Bryant became, well, Kobe. Bird got a new Shaq. In 19 seasons with the Seattle Storm, Bird led the team in win shares just three times. From 2001 to 2012, Bird played with three-time MVP Lauren Jackson. Then from 16 to 22, she set up two-time finals MVP Breonna Stewart. But there's no shame in playing alongside two all-time greats. Her longevity and consistency is what set Bird apart. LaDainian Tomlinson had Lorenzo Neal, San Diego Chargers, 2003-2007. Before the NFL was totally dominated by passing attacks, there was a player called a fullback who lined up in the backfield, often between the quarterback and the running back. He had a variety of jobs, but often ran ahead of the running back to block. Lorenzo Neal was the best blocking fullback maybe ever, which made him the ideal sidekick. Some of the best rushing seasons ever happened on the strength of Neal's blocking, including Eddie George's 1,509 yards, 14 rushing touchdowns, and LaDainian Tomlinson's 06, 1,815 yards and 28 TDs. And here on top of page 17, it shows all of the sidekicks, the hockey, the baseball, the WNBA, and, of course, football. WizKids, a career in the big leagues may seem a lifetime away now, but these prodigies won big when they were young enough to be in school. Olivia Moultrie won the NWSL Shield at age 17. Portland's midfielder had already set youngest ever record when she signed with Nike at 13, joined the Thorns at just 15, and scored a league goal at 16. She sued the NWSL to get around a rule prohibiting players younger than 18. Now she's the youngest NWSL champion at just 17. Photos of Portland's locker room celebration after their 2-0 victory over Kansas City went viral. Moultrie, 4 years too young to drink some of the beverages being enjoyed, had to watch from a safe distance in a corner of the room with a slightly concerned expression on her face. She had a better view of the on-field celebration, though, when she subbed into the game during stoppage time of the second half. When she took the microphone during the team celebration, she said, "I mean, going to court was worth it to play here," to the delight of her adult teammates. Sidney Crosby. Sid the Kid is not the Olivia Moultrie of the NHL, per se. The youngest person to get their name on the Stanley Cup was Larry Hillman, who won with Boston in 1955 at 18 years, 2 months, and 9 days. Hillman, who died last year at age 85, will likely never see his record fall, as NHL rookies now have to be 18 by September 15th. Crosby, however, had one of the most impressive starts to an NHL career, becoming the youngest player to score 100 points at 18 years and 253 days. He played that season with a 40-year-old Mario Lemieux, who had set the previous record more than 20 years earlier at 19. Crosby became the youngest captain in NHL history, a record now held by Connor McDavid, then at 21. He became the youngest captain to win the Stanley Cup, a record likely to stand much longer. We hope we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-9138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.